The following was the introductory sermon by Elder J.P. Helms at the Pig River Association in 1965.
Again, the Pig River Association has met according to appointment. And again, by rotation, I stand before you for the purpose of trying to call the introductory sermon. No man has ever stood before you less qualified for this task than I am. I realize to some measure at least that this is the last time that I'll ever have the privilege of addressing you. The association here 17, 18 years ago, my mother passed away on Friday. I have been blessed to attend all the associations that have ever been held with the Church of Rocky Mount. My desire is, above everything, that I have your prayers, that God might bless me to proclaim the riches of His grace as I feel that was proclaimed when this church, this association was organized across the way over here, a little way, in the 1825 at a little Greek church. Recently, I have been greatly disturbed in my mind, and here is a poor sinner standing before you that has tried to think of something that I might read in your presence. I heard a man recently read a portion of the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. He began by saying he wanted to tell us what God would do and what He wouldn't do. And that amazed me, because I am been made to believe, and I stand before you that one will feel the desire to earnestly contend for what God has done, and affirm to you that what He has done is done forever. Last Sunday afternoon, our present moderator here, Elder Turner, was blessed to preach the truth. And he spake of one thing that has rested somewhat on my mind, and I'll turn to the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Rome and read one verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If I could only be blessed to affirm and to bear record of this eternal truth, I would have been blessed by the Lord of heaven and of earth to proclaim the riches of what He has done for His people. The world today is crying what He will do if we will let Him. But I want to lift up my voice here this afternoon or today in the opening session of the Old Pig River Association. What he has done, not what he will do, but he has done for poor, unworthy worms of the dust. And here stands a living witness to his amazing mercy. Because if I had had justice dealt out upon me, I would not be here on this occasion. In my early life in the ministry, I remember in particular something reference to this scripture. I had found where that this scripture reads, being justified by his blood. And I felt the Lord bless me to a little measure to preach the atoning blood of Christ to his people. The following week, something attracted my attention and I turned to this scripture. And it didn't read to suit me. I wanted to punctuate it different. This won't do, as I said, and I found out soon that it is me that needed punctuate, not the scripture. Because I have read to you, being therefore, being justified by faith. We might pause there, how far reaching is that? Father, never the tongue of an individual will ever be blessed to reach. Father, in the mind of an individual sinner, will ever be blessed to fathom. Justification is a doctrine that belongs only to God's humble poor. You know, naturally speaking, the head of our government in the state of Virginia or the head of our government nationally can pardon, and they'll come home free from the law. But let him be a rogue or a murderer or whatever he may be, the stain of that thing is in him. He comes home a pardoned murderer or a pardoned rogue, as the case may be. But here is something as though nothing had ever entered our minds. In other words, cleanse us entirely and brings us in a wonderful condition, and I confess, I can only say I hope that he was born for me. I can only say that I hope that he lived for me. I can only say that I hope that he died for me, and not only died for me, but rose for me. And from time to time, over a period of a long time, once in a while has visited me and assured me that I finished the work that I came to do. When I bowed my head on the cross and said, "It's finished," salvation in its entirety for the here and the hereafter was wrought out in its entirety for every one of his children. And that's so far-reaching and all-embracing that the little infants that never have spoke the word of mother or father's embraced in it. The aged, whether in old school Baptist or whether some other denomination, is all embraced in this thing. And what is under consideration when the word faith is used? I know to a little measure what the dictionary says, And we had spoken of often as just something that we can cultivate, something we can add to, or something that we can lose, as though it was a commodity. But let me assure you, if you had all the wealth of the universe, you couldn't buy enough faith to put out a Chigusai. And you know what amount that would be. What is faith, anyway? The best definition that I've ever found for it is contained in this scripture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it goes on and tells the effect of that faith when it's granted to an individual. But I say to you that it'll make him believe in God. By faith, the first man that was ever fell under the sentence of death by the hands of his brother offered a more acceptable sacrifice than his elder brother. How? Why? By faith. How did Abraham, why did he believe God? By faith. And that faith that was once delivered to the saints is not offered to you, but given to you. And when the babe was laid in the manger, there's the gift of God in its entirety. And it's impossible to find hope where faith is not, because faith is the beginning of it all. And if we've got faith, the Lord's got us. We haven't got him. I want to talk to you about a thing, we don't get it. Long ago, a colored man said, if you can get something, you can lose it. So I want to tell you, if God will, that my hope is that the author and finisher of faith, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, found me. Not that he didn't know where I was, but he found me as he found one of old in a waste town and wilderness. And he brought me by his own hand. Brought me to what? Brought me to the place that I was made to cry unto him. Because all of my works had failed. I had fell not a little ways, but I was made to know that that faith is the gift of God in its entirety. No wonder the Apostle Paul, in bearing testimony here and there, always added to grace, by faith, through grace. So it's impossible to obtain one that the other isn't there, because every gift, every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above in the person of the Lord of glory. And he takes up his abode in your heart. He illuminates that heart in such a way that he gives you eyes to see, heart to understand. And don't tell me that you have to have faith to believe. Belief is the effect of faith. Not the cause of it, by no means. Faith is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Certainly ought to set and seal all the workmongers of the universe. And even in this day, I might say here, my first going to association as a messenger of the Old Republican Church, there was between 1,200 and 1,300 members of this association. Now, not quite 800, I think. That's right, 800. What took place? Has the witnesses that Jehovah God has chosen to stand and bear record Has they failed? No. No failure in him. God's purpose is being carried out in the Pig River Association, as it is everywhere. And sometimes I have been made to think, point my finger at myself, you have failed. Yes, I admit that I'm a failure, but I'm so thankful that I desire to tell you one that never has, can't fail. And that one is the author and finisher of every bit of faith that ever has or ever will be made manifest here upon the earth. So in defining faith, the God that created the universe, that was made manifest and laid in a manger, when it said to those people that were on the hill by night, this shall be a sign unto you, find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in the manger. In him is all the gift that God has ever promised throughout all ages to all of his people. And what more do we need today than him? My cry, don't help me. O Lord, manifest thy power. He's the only one that has ever said he'd bring his children from the north. Say to the south, keep not back. I'll bring my sons and daughters from afar, even the end of the earth. I know I've been among you a long time. I might say when I was ordained, 17 elders above me on the foot of the list, and now the head of the list, 17 gone on before. And soon, according to nature, I'll be called to quit the walks of man. But the outstanding theme among our people has always and always will be contained in the language that we'll find in Revelation, the Lord omnipotent reigns. Not only does he reign over this or that or the other, he reigns and rules over all things there is. And sometimes I can bear record, because I've been given eyes to behold it, that not a leaf has ever quivered. Not one has ever fell. That isn't in keeping. And according to the eternal will of God, and every one of his children, God has appointed your coming into the kingdom. Because there is only one way to come, his kingdom. It's not by denomination, not by any other thing than new birth. Not being born naturally, because that which is of flesh is flesh, that which is of spirit is spirit. So being justified, this man that stands before you has got a hope that he's justified fully from everything that ever has or ever can come against me, joined in with his writings in the 8th chapter and the 9th chapter of Romans. Who shall bring anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he? Where is he to bring any charge before the courts of heaven again you? I know there's many things required of you here, but God doesn't look at you as a man. My hope is that he looks at me through the Lord Jesus Christ. All of my righteousnesses, every bit that I can lay claim to, is mine. It is filthy rags. And I can affirm to you truthfully, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the hypocrites and Pharisees, you are gone. How then are we to escape? By faith. Therefore, by faith, you're justified. Justified before who? Before God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't he hold everything in his own hands? Is anything that you can think of that's not under his control? Has he ever been surprised? Has he ever come short one iota? His eternal will being done. Here stands a man that I feel anything in this world wrought in me, that is. That he's got all the power that there is in his own hands. Don't undertake to tell me to fear the devil. Because I have long since learned that he doesn't hold the keys to his own kingdom. And so far as that's concerned, let me be plain and brief. He can't wiggle his own tail without the God of heaven and of earth. If it's according to his will, it's going to be done. And if it's not God's will, it won't be done. So Jesus came, born of a woman, according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And don't find any fault. Don't they need no justification. It was according to God's eternal will, crucified between two thieves. Gave up the ghost and was laid in the tomb 3 days and three nights. All of it according to the determinate counsel of a covenant-keeping God. Don't say that man had anything to do with that. We see a great deal going on over in Rome today. Going to free so-and-so from the charge of crucifying the Lord of glory. As though man is the author of all of that. But I want to tell you, regardless of what you may think or what you may say, all of that according to the eternal will of God. And without it, without his crucifixion, without his death, where would I be? Where would you be? By his death, we live. Because by faith, and justified before God. More than I can understand, because I go most of the time with my head bowed down. If I could only know, if I could only have more evidence, has been my cry all these years. And I realize that it soon must pass into the great beyond. With a little hope that I hope I received long ago in a cabin here close to the town of Rocky Mount, resting and abiding upon this one thing that it came to me. Where was I at? I had finished my work. All of it. I had come to the place that no more praying, no more promising, because I had failed in everything. I have tried again and again to tell. I think of an old grandfather of mine in his last hours told me, John Peter, I must go into the great beyond with a little hope that sometimes I've been ashamed to tell. Here stands another man who must go and face his Maker with a hope that the Lord of glory suffered for me, fulfilled every law and all the demands for me, such a wonderful way that I stand here today, not be tomorrow, not yesterday, not today, but now, right now, justified by faith, so that in the sight of God, I stand as pure and holy, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, as the God of heaven is. Can you receive that? No, I know your groans. I know our fears, know all about them, but nevertheless, when we can see Jesus, when we can see him as making an offering, not for a part of our sin, but all of them, putting them away by his own death upon the cross, raised for our justification, assures us that our hope's not vain. As God has appointed so many hills for us to climb, so many ravines for us to go down to the depths, but in the end, the glory land waiting for you, already prepared. So away with the idea of telling you what God will do and what he won't do. But I want to tell you that everything's made ready for you. And you, with all of your vileness, according to your own judgment, read the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. You will find where that he gloried, suffered persecution. Doubts and fears were in potion. Nevertheless, in spite of all of that, being justified fully and freely, so that he stands justified before God. So old school Baptist, in spite of all that you're surrounded with, in spite of all that you may think or you may do, if God's on for you, who can be against you? Last Sunday, Elder Turner was blessed to bring a message to me that lifted me clear up and made me realize to a little measure that in spite of all that I am, God loved me and gave himself for me. Didn't send nobody else to do anything, came himself in the person of his son, and by the whom we stand justified, not tomorrow, not in some day that's coming, but justified now, freely, from all sin and all iniquity. If we could only be given to realize that eternal truth, oh, it wouldn't be, the nights wouldn't be so long sometimes. I wouldn't have to roll and tumble so much, but nevertheless, I want to say to you that it's rest assured, your salvation, everything is prepared for you, and sometimes we can stagger over and get a little comfort out of one scripture when it says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For the foundation of the world. So everything now, God's made everything ready for you. And all what you're doing here, he's making you ready for it. And I oftentimes am trying to tell old school Baptists what's expected of you. This grace, this faith that's given you, doesn't never make you a boastful character of what you've done. Never makes you boast of anything you've ever thought of or done in your life. But when we're given to think right, we cry out, glory to God in the highest. Yes, we glory God. We glorify in him. Because whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified. He justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for you, who can be against you? Let it be remembered for every one of you. I stand in the presence of deacons, preachers, plead my inability, but tell you that God is able. not to do something, but has done it, finished it, and has prepared heaven with all of its glory for you. And he's preparing you day after day. Oh, if I could only preach like I thought I'd learned two almost 50 years ago, I'd be something. But instead of getting bigger, I'm shrinking up. Instead of knowing more, I want to tell you, ministers, I know less than I know longer. And the growth in grace and the knowledge of the truth, brethren, never has ever exalted one to know more than the least of you. But it brings us all down on the level and makes us to look at them we are trying to tell about the riches of grace. And they know more in a moment than we know in a lifetime. That's why I stand today trying to preach to you the riches of God's grace when I feel deeply you know more about it than I do. So I'm going to give way here because I feel that I've stood longer now than I should have. But if I could only leave this thought with you, God's not going to do anything more for one of his children. When he yielded up the ghost on the cross of Calvary and said it's finished, the atonement was made. And he rose from the dead, he sealed it. Not only did he seal it, but he's tending to his own affairs today. There's not a home that's ever been in Franklin County in the mountains that he was ashamed to come to. And ashamed to introduce himself to you and made you know what a vile wretch you was and what a glorious individual he was. How well do I know this? I feel like I can go now to the spot. The cabin's gone. But I can go to the very spot, and if I could only feel what I felt that day, and only hear what I heard that day, wouldn't be so much doubt with me. I heard a voice, it affirmed that he created heaven and earth, and I'm your Savior. There was life in that word, power in it. And for a little while, there wasn't any doubt in the world. I could embrace the whole world and said, I love you all. But it wasn't long till something else come. Doubts arose. And doubts has been my portion, seems to me, all these years. But I affirm to you, children of the Most High God, the sacrifice was made long ago. You don't have to make it. You don't have to help. It's not a little grace and a little works. It's either all grace and it's all the grace is by faith, or there is none. So all the work has been done. Where is he now? The scripture says, and I say, he's seated at the right hand of God. What's he doing now? Making intercessions for you. Oh, how oft do I feel the need of being interceded for, but still he stands between me and the judgment, the righteous judgment of God. He stands between me and him, and nothing is ever charged up to me, because why? I'm great and they're small. I'm rich and they're poor. They can do nothing. But through him, I say to you, through him we can do all things, through Jesus Christ who strengthens us.